You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast. It has been a little bit since we recorded one last. We've both had a lot going on, and some of that has been related to our topic for today. And so dealing with the aftermath of some of those things. But we are glad to be here, and we have, I think, a really good topic planned for today.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for agreeing to do this, today after such a huge gap.
I know, it has been.
Yeah, we have both been very busy, I think, haven't we, professionally, personally. So I've missed our chats, but hopefully we can get back into the swing of things moving forward. But I think we've both been doing a lot of work on our own businesses as well, which is great. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can talk about that, because I think this is aligned with that. But yeah, it was definitely the right choice to choose this topic to kick off our new stream of podcast.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Well, tell us what it is. I think this was your idea, actually. And I said, hey, yeah, that sounds great.
That's why I said at the beginning, thank you, Jeff. And I thought, it was not my, we've been planning to do podcasts, haven't
exactly.
we? But it was my, thank you for agreeing to my choice of topic.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to talk about trauma-informed nutrition, because particularly in my practice, I think it's something that I've been doing for a long time. But probably not been explicit about it. So I think it's just, it's such an important thing, I think, to bring to the surface. But I think a lot of people, the reason I wanted to talk about it today, Jeff, is because I don't know about you, a lot of people I don't think really understand what it means, or maybe mm-hmm. think it doesn't apply to them, when potentially it could.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I really haven't done a lot of work in that area myself, and partly because I personally don't feel like I have the training and that kind of thing in that area, but it certainly informs a lot of what I do, because I think a lot of the people that I work with and have worked with have experienced trauma in differing degrees, and it comes up in our conversations a lot. And so it's really good to be aware of it. And I do have significant lived experience in that area, so it does help me to understand where they're coming from, the perspective, and how it really impact so many areas of our life, including nutrition and things that we might not even think about on the surface, like nutrition. I think sometimes people don't realize just how impactful trauma at any level has on our eating habits and our relationship with food and all of those things.
And I think whilst you say that it's not something that, you've dealt, I honestly think, especially as we go into this topic today, I honestly think that the way that you work is definitely in trauma. I think there's a difference between, a trauma-informed approach mm-hmm. and a trauma-focused approach.
Right.
So, I think if you're going to take a trauma-focused approach, then obviously you may want to look at more training, more education. Obviously, mm-hmm. with my background and, in education, and I've done lots of training mm-hmm. around trauma-informed approaches, but it's always been something that I have been aware of. Mm-hmm. And I think as our practice has evolved as intuitive eating coaches, I think it aligns so, so well, because really trauma-informed nutrition is just acknowledging that that trauma, and particularly childhood trauma, I've got to be honest, plays a role in a person's life. And, it understands that unhealthy behaviors, unhealthy dietary habits, unhealthy relationships with food are often a result of trauma or experiences mm-hmm. that people have had, rather than individual choices.
Yeah.
And I think we've always kind of thought about, we've always understood that, haven't mm-hmm. we? And this is why I think, trauma-informed nutrition, really is characterized by, being curious, not shaming, mm-hmm. not blaming, not stigmatizing a person. It's about asking, rather than asking, what's wrong with you? It's mm-hmm. about asking, okay, so what's happened to you?
Yeah, you know? That's exactly. And that's exactly what the paradigm shift is in, exactly. in approaching it that way. And that's one of the things I love with intuitive eating is that it, even though I don't have specific training in the area of dealing with people's trauma and at a mental health level, and I would, you know, I would refer someone to a therapist for that part. Intuitive eating goes, it just, it works alongside that so well because it's such a gentle approach that takes that really what happened to you approach, rather whether it's trauma or something else. So it actually looks at, you know, the dieting history. It's not, hey, what's wrong with you? Why can't you stick to a diet? Let's find a better diet that you can stick to. It doesn't do that. It says, okay, these things haven't been working. So what's happened to you over the course of your life? Let's talk about the various areas of your life and figure out what it is that's happened in the past that's caused the disruption to occur in your relationship with food. And then let's deal with those things. And I don't have to help them deal with their trauma much. They can do that with somebody else who's very experienced with that. But me understanding how that impacts their nutrition is so important. And it's stuff that diets just don't address and typical fitness mentality doesn't address. It basically says, you know, doesn't matter whether you have trauma, the perfect upbringing, weight stigma, you know, whatever it is, if you just stick to this diet, you'll get your results. And that's just that whole, it's ignoring this huge part of who the person is and their development.
Yeah. And, you know, but this is the thing, you know, it's so mainstream, you know, it's so everybody, the thing with traditional nutrition coaching or, you know, is that coaches will tend to, and this isn't me, you know, because I'm not berating anybody or anything like that, but I just find the clients that I'm working with usually do have really, really poor relationships with food. It's not just a case that they've got into bad habits because of life, their current lifestyle. It's they literally have got things that have happened to them. And sometimes as well, Jeff, you know, that trauma is related to dieting. Mm-hmm. And that might not have been triggered by their own dieting. That could have been triggered by generational trauma. So right. Seeing their parents dieting or seeing their parents being restrictive with food, all of this is trauma. You know, even having food restricted, having food scarcity, having food insecurity, that can really, really mess up your relationship with food. Mm-hmm. And if that's happened, you know, the thing is, if something like that has happened to a person and then we try and put them on a strict diet, we try and tell them that the reason that they're not getting their results is because they're not willing or they're not motivated enough, that's going to be triggering. Okay. Yeah. And I think if you take a trauma-informed approach, and it's very similar to intuitive eating approach as well, you're actually saying to a person, let's recognize your strengths and your skills. Mm-hmm. And let's inspire a healing approach and a personalized approach to food rather than beating you up about what it is you can't achieve right now. And also as well, it really thinks about the whole person. Mm-hmm. It looks at the, you know, a person in all areas of their functioning, you know, social, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, you know, whereas obviously traditional nutrition coaching doesn't care about any of that. You know, I spoke to a client yesterday, a potential client. And she said to me halfway through this call, you know, she picked out a few people to talk to. And she said, you know what, already, I really like your approach. She said, because you've just asked me some questions and you've got me thinking and you're interested in me. Mm-hmm. She said, whereas the person I spoke to previously was just like, this is what I do. This is my program. This is what it costs.
Yeah.
She said, well, you know, you're going to make me think. You're going to make me change the way I think and how I feel. And I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, you talked about the multifaceted approach to that. And it was interesting, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, their description of trauma-based approach includes what they call the three E's, events. Mm-hmm. So what's happened to the person, experience, how the person perceives and reacts to those events, and then the effects. So the psychological and physiological and spiritual manifestations of those things. And I thought that was a really good way of putting it. And it aligns so much with exactly what we do when we're coaching people using intuitive eating, is that we look for those events that have happened in their life, whether it was a trauma or even a mild trauma. I don't know how, you know, it's always hard to categorize those things, but any kind of event, they could just be, it can just be some kind of weird disruption, like your job changed and it's not a trauma, but it's still something, an event that occurred that informs us. Yeah. And then experience, you know, and how did you perceive that and react to that? You know, different people react to these events in different ways. And then what were those effects? So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I do think that I do always, there's a couple of things I wanted to pull out there. And going back a little bit to, I'm going to write a note here so I don't forget. So going back to what you mentioned as well about not being, you know, like you said, not necessarily having a great amount of experience and things like that. I just want to say that I think there are a lot of nutritionists out there who probably do shy away from this because they think, I'm not trained to help someone deal with their trauma. Now, that's not what I'm doing either. And that's not what you're doing. We're not focusing on the trauma. And if somebody has experienced a trauma that is particularly, you know, difficult for them to process, I always use a scale when I'm talking about different things that people have experienced and how that's affected their beliefs today. And if they're saying that something has affected them, you know, with one being not zero effect, emotional effect, you know, zero being no emotional effect and 10 being like a really, you know, a really awful emotional impact that this trauma has had. If it's anything above a 6 or a 7, I'm like, you know, you really do probably need to seek professional help from a therapist. Whereas, you know, if somebody, you know, has, I think what we're trying to do is just recognize that these experiences are impacting the way that a person is approaching food now. Okay. Rather than it being, we're going to dig into this trauma and we're going to help them, you know, work their way out of it. That's not what it's about. And I think this is why some people can shy away and think, well, I'm not qualified, or I'm not trained in trauma, or I'm not a psychotherapist, or I'm not a psychologist. You know, don't sell yourself short. Okay. Because if you are taking this approach where you're being curious with your clients, where you are, you know, you're putting your clients at the center of it and you're not coming. And I tell you something, I know this has taken us both some time on our journey, because I know when we first set out as nutritionists, we felt like we always had to have the answers. We felt like we had to create a perfect plan for our clients. Okay. That's not a trauma-informed approach. A trauma-informed approach is about coming to a session and, yes, maybe having an idea about how you want to guide it. Like today, I had a session with a client and I went in thinking, I think we're going to probably cover this today. She starts talking about the task that I set her last week. We went off on a totally different tangent. And so I set her something else to do. And I explained this to her. I said, when we started on this journey, I told you it was going to be organic and it was going to be very personalized. And I'm going to let you guide me. So, you know, this is why we're going down this route. She loved it. It's brilliant. You know, she was like, this is just what I need. So I think, but this was because I listened, you know, which is really, really hard sometimes. It's really, really hard to just sit there, cast away anything that you may have thought before the session and just be present. Okay. And yeah, it's always about being curious about what the client is saying and just meeting them where they're at. You don't have to be a psychologist to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, then you need to recognize how that's impacting on their relationship with food. Okay. And this is the other thing that, you know, I think when it comes to trauma, and I think sometimes this does come up a lot, and I do encourage this. And I know as part of the intuitive eating as well, we do encourage this. We do encourage clients to look back at family food rules, to look back at what beliefs were created during childhood. And this is important because, you know, very often it is those, you know, those adverse childhood experiences that actually are having the biggest impact today. Because as children, something that might seem really minor to us right now, if as a child your brain hadn't developed enough to understand or make sense of it, then it wasn't processed properly, and that means it's trauma.
Yeah, those are really good points, and that's exactly the way that I approach my sessions. Also, so many of them, one of my clients specifically said that she's like, a lot of times, she said, most of the time when I come into our sessions, I have no idea what I'm even going to talk about. And then we just get chatting. And from there, we uncover all kinds of things and work on different things and work through different things. Yeah.
And I think there are so many coaches out there and there are so many clients out there that are almost afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That's where the long-term change occurs.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it, so, you know, it does take a leap of faith to, you know, to invest in this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, I don't think I've had a client, you know, that hasn't, a client that has invested in doing this work, I don't think has ever come away feeling disappointed because they've changed as people. They've realized what they've been hiding behind. And they've realized that, you know, those traumatic experiences, they end up creating limiting beliefs. And this is where self-sabotage comes in as well.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Everyone's like, oh, you know, I keep sabotaging. Why do I keep sabotaging myself? And it's like, you know, a traditional coach would be like, you just need to set a plan. You need to, you know, stick to these habits. You need to create a new habit in 21 days. Well, that's all right in the short term. Fundamentally, what you really need to do is understand why, you know, you need to understand that limiting self-belief that is leading you to self-sabotage. And this happens across all areas of life. This is something I've learned. You know, I've learned, you know, exactly how my limiting beliefs have ended up, you know, leading me to self-sabotage in other areas of life. But do you know what I mean? It's just, and this is why as well, when clients work with us, I think that they realize just how much of an impact it has in all areas of their life.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
Well, and that's really what, you know, ultimately that's what I want to see happen with people is not just see their relationship with food change, but also see that carry over into the relationship with their kids and their spouse and their job and all of those other areas, because our relationship with food has negative impacts in those areas. And so we want to see, as we help them resolve some of the areas around food, and sometimes body image comes into that also, but how that carries over into the other areas of life. And I know you've shared experiences with clients in the past who literally can point to the work that they've done with you with their nutrition and how it's impacted them as a business leader and that kind of thing. And I've seen the same thing with people and just the way that they talk with their kids and just interact with their friends and the things that they put up with that they don't put up with anymore, or they stand up for themselves in certain situations where before they would just sort of fold under pressure. And it's just these small little things that sometimes helps them to build that confidence in other areas also.
Yeah, because I stop hiding behind. The other thing that I often find as well with one of the great piece of work that I've done recently with a client, and it's around this, because a lot of clients, when they come to me, their confidence is rock bottom, even though they come across as being confident and, you know, and all have it all together, et cetera, et cetera. They are, you know, they're like the duck on the water with the legs flapping like this underneath. But it's because their self-esteem is so low that they're just constantly trying to people please, and it's just zapping all of their energy.
Mm-hmm.
So a great piece of work I've done recently with a client was around, you know, taking a step back and thinking, actually, you know, instead of wondering what this person thinks of me, instead of wondering how I can make this person like me, or it's like, actually, do I even like this person? You know, and, you know, because this is, again, where the whole body image, you know, a negative body image comes in. If you've got a negative body image, then you just want to be liked. You want to please people. It's like, hang on a minute here. Is this person making me feel good? Do I really like this person? Do I want to see them again? And sometimes we're so consumed with what other people think of us and how we can please them that we forget to actually care about ourselves. And that's just the highest form of self-love, isn't it? You know, and when you can discover your true self, when you can strip back. The other thing as well is to recognize, and this is another reason why intuitive eating is so aligned with a trauma-informed approach, is because, you know, trauma, childhood trauma, you know, adult trauma, it disrupts how the mind and the body works. Okay, so trauma presents itself in the body. Yeah, and this is why sometimes, you know, you will find, you know, and I think sometimes I've helped clients to work through this through kind of different practices. I know in the intuitive eating, there's a really great practice there around getting to know your body, getting to understand and recognize why where certain emotions show up in your body.
Yeah, the physical responses.
Exactly. And I also love to do some body scans with clients as well, because when you can, you know, and then you can really, really work out, like me, I mean, one of the big things, I mean, for me, definitely, I stored all of mine like in my tummy area, which then affected mm-hmm. my back and my posture and all that kind of stuff. But when you can begin to recognize that all of these complaints that you've maybe been having are because of trauma, I mean, you know, some people have it in their knees, their legs, their arms, all sorts. And, you know, when you can begin to understand how it's showing up in your body and you can make those connections, you can begin to release it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've gone right off on a tangent there, haven't I? But I just think it's,
yeah.
you know, I think people underestimate, I think, just how important it is to take that approach and to be curious with clients. Actually, I want to read a quote, and I've just thought about it now. There's a book I've been reading, and I was talking to a client before about always being curious, you know, replace mm-hmm. judgment with curiosity. And I said to her, I read this quote out that is in a book that I've been reading by Vex King, and it says, curiosity didn't kill the cat. Curiosity trained the cat's muscles, honed its hunting skills, and got the cat its next meal. And I read that to my client today, and she went, oh my God, that's like a session with you. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, I think a lot of times, and this has come up in conversations, people don't realize, and this was me when my first wife passed away, because as I've mentioned to you before, I mentioned on this podcast a few times, but my trauma was from my marriage to my first wife. She was very, very, very abusive to myself and the kids, especially verbally, emotionally, and psychologically, and that kind of thing. And I didn't even know that I had been traumatized. I just thought, you know, she was just, you know, treating me like garbage. And it was nice to be free of that when she died. And, you know, that's another conversation. But I didn't realize that it was trauma. And in fact, going through that experience is exactly what had reshaped my. Yeah, I know, Jax. It's okay. Oh, dog barking there. But somebody mowing their grass next door. And he hates when they mow the grass. But anyway, yeah, it shaped very much a shift and a change in how I viewed mental health and mental illness and stuff as I was actually going through it myself. And so it's like recognizing that. But through that process, I recognized that I had undergone trauma. And then I started recognizing all the areas that it impacted my life and that it still continues to impact my life, because none of mine was from childhood. I mean, this was prior to being in my early 20s. I had literally never experienced anything other than, you know, I had a kid at school that bullied me a little bit. And that was the extent of, I had the most perfect childhood growing up as far as parents are concerned. So, but that period, yeah, but anyway, so that informed that. And I realized that I had experienced some significant trauma for 15 years and the impact it had. And I think when I'm working with people, sometimes they don't realize that what they went through was actually trauma and that it was traumatic. And that's why they're struggling with these things. And that, and just because you've experienced something, let's, you know, as an example, how you were raised around food and how food was presented to you and the conversations and the rules around dinner table. It's okay to see that as a somewhat of a traumatic experience. Based on how it's impacted you, without saying that your parents were horrible people. Because you don't have to, just because you experienced something traumatic doesn't mean that the people that were sort of responsible for it had any ill will or that there was any malice or that you should feel bad toward them. They were just doing the best they could. Food insecurity is an example. You know, if your family didn't have money and you, it's still traumatic, but that was, they did the best they could. And so,
food insecurity is a trauma. And mm-hmm, yeah. I have so many clients who have developed binge eating disorder because, you know, of that food insecurity and that limiting belief that when you have access to food, you've got to eat as much of it as you can, mm-hmm. as, you know, and they don't recognize that that's linked to the fact that there was food insecurity, there wasn't enough money, you had to make the most of it when you could.
Yeah.
Even to the point where, you know, sometimes I've had clients where it's, you know, they've been just the youngest in the family. And they literally had to, you know, scramble to get the food, you know, and it is helping clients to join those dots. Mm-hmm. And I do want to make a point there as well, because you made a really poignant point there about how, you know, even the most loving parents, even the most, you know, grounded parents can cause trauma without realizing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because, you know, my parents, I mean, you know, we haven't got 6 hours, but I, you know, my trauma started from a very young age. Mm-hmm. I had several childhood traumas, several adolescent traumas, and several adult trauma, you know, because the thing is, once you're stuck in that cycle, you know, and I've spoken about this before, you know, it's like, you then, if you end up in this cycle, you know, a trauma then leads to an eating disorder like it did with me. And then you are literally, it's all about vibration and energy. I know that sounds really like, I don't want to be woo woo, but it is, you know, I literally was giving out this energy that it was okay to treat me like dirt. And, you know, I attracted toxic mm-hmm. people and that was okay. And so, you know, it took a long, 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 long time for me to get out of that. But what I want to say is that, yeah, my mum caused me trauma. My dad caused me trauma. My grandparents caused me trauma, mm-hmm. you know, but they love me.
Yeah.
They do love me. Yeah. And they'll never understand, I don't think. I mean, you know, they do. They look back now. My mum always says, I wish I knew now what I did then.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I really want to point out here as well is that I know that and I can see that. Yeah, I still know that I've probably created trauma for my children in certain ways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I have. And that's been something that because of the choices I made, the things I allowed to go on, exactly. all of those things. And, you know, but my kids, we've worked through a lot of those things and they, you know, we have a very close relationship. I have a very close relationship with both my kids that are adults now, but yeah, the same thing is it's important that we acknowledge that stuff, that we talk about it, because that's the only way you can deal with it and move through it is to acknowledge. Yeah, you know what? I did cause you trauma, and it wasn't because I didn't care about you. It was because of the particular situation we were in, and I'm, you know, acknowledging it, and then you can kind of move through.
And the other thing is what may be trauma for one child may not be trauma for another, because mm-hmm. it all depends on, you know, it depends on age, experience, you know, because I know, like, my youngest, and, I I'm not going to sit here and say I never will cause trauma again in my children, because I'm not, I'm certainly not perfect. And, you know, whilst I have been on my own healing journey, you know, it's always still is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will always, as parents, when, you know, no one's perfect, we're all humans. And, you know, I think one thing I really, really want to get across here, and I don't think I get this across a lot in my marketing or my social media, although I do think I have a little bit, because I remember getting trolled a little bit about this, but, you know, it's about trauma and mental health. And, you know, I like to be really open and honest, because I think a lot of people out there will be like, come and work with me because I've experienced this and now I'm on the other side and I'm perfect and everything's mm-hmm. wonderful and I'm healed. Okay. Now I'm going to be totally honest and say, Jesus, I have my bad days. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their bad days. The difference is now is that I've got a toolkit. And I've got the skills and the awareness to know how to deal with it rather than things spiraling out of control. And that's the other thing where I want to say that. And I spoke to one of my clients today and I was giving her some exercises to do. And I said to her, these are all exercises that I have done and I continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to tell any client that suddenly life's going to be perfect and you're never going to experience any adverse events again, because it's just not true.
Yeah.
You know? And the reason I'm saying this is that I will probably still, you know, do things wrong with my children. I will probably still hurt. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And I think it's just important that we're able to recognize those things and recognize, too, how those different things have the potential to impact somebody. And so that we can go and work through them and deal with them whenever we recognize them too. And that's part of it, as you know, maybe our parents didn't do that when we were growing up. Maybe they didn't acknowledge those things or even know that it was an issue because of how they were raised. They were just raising you, you know, that's just the way I was raised, kind of a mentality, which there's a lot of people who kind of take that approach.
And
I think being curious, I think that curiosity thing is a key thing. How did this impact me? What if I continue to do this with my kids? Clean your plate as a really simple example. Okay, growing up, I had to clean my plate. I didn't, but a lot of my clients have.
Well, I did.
Yeah. You have to clean your plate if you want dessert. And if you don't clean your plate, you can't leave the table. And if you don't clean your plate, you get the evil eye, or you get the negative comments. So you just do it to get the approval, you know, whatever the case is. And then finally coming to the realization that, okay, that was actually a fairly traumatic experience that I went through. And yes, that's what I'm doing with my kids now. That's just how I was raised. But being curious and recognizing and being willing to learn from that and say, you know what, that didn't serve me well. So now I'm going to do something different. And I think that's kind of the key through all of this is being willing to try something different, do something different. I know with my coaching, I've come to that realization. I started off with a traditional fat loss coaching approach, give them some macros and I mean, I always took a very gentle approach with it, but ultimately I was calculating calorie targets and macros and adjusting it and adjusting their training program. So they got progressive overloads. So, and if they weren't progressing, then that was a negative thing. And, you know, I would make comments about other people like, oh, I've seen the guy in the gym and he's been there a year and he looks exactly the same as he did, you know, just a very different, whole different mindset. And then shifting from that over the years to where I am now, which is the opposite end spectrum. You know, it's just that willingness to say, hey, what is wrong with this approach that I'm using? And we can use that those same questions in our own nutrition. You know, what's wrong with using dieting to try and improve my body image? How is that serving me? What's wrong with that? How is that addressing the underlying issues? And it's not. So I need to maybe do something different. And that willingness to try something else can be really helpful.
And it's about, and like you said there, then about being curious and about. Because still, there are still times, because, you know, my kids are still young, and I'll be honest with you, until my, you know, I was in, you know, I was in an abusive marriage. I was experiencing my own trauma until my children, you know, until my youngest was 5 years old. And so I get, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still learning as a parent. I'm still learning about myself. I'm still learning how my past has affected me. And I don't think that process will ever end. But like you said, it's because I can now be curious about things and learn from things. And the reason I'm saying this is that sometimes I will do things as a parent and I'll think, I used to really beat myself up and judge myself that I really didn't like how I did that. And I'd be so, I'm such a bad person. I'm such a bad mom. Whereas now I just think, do you know what? Why did that happen? What happened to me to make me, or what triggered me? Mm-hmm. How did he trigger me? Because I'll be completely honest. I've got two young boys, okay, that sometimes treat me like their father did. Mm-hmm. I get triggered as hell.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, I'm sure.
So I have to be curious rather than beating myself up, because beating myself up is never going to get me anywhere. So I'm still on a journey. I'm still learning.
And that's also, that's that whole paradigm shift. What's wrong with you versus what happened to you? So you're saying, instead of saying, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? It's like, okay, well, what happened that set me up to respond in this way to this situation? And when you identify that, then you can say, okay, I at least understand it. That still was a completely inappropriate way to respond, but now I understand where that came from. And so now I can address it and understand it in a better way and deal with that underlying issue instead of just saying, oh, I'm a horrible person. Next time I got to do better. You know, that doesn't do any good.
Another thing as well, what I wanted to pull out from what you were talking earlier about finishing everything on your plate. You know, another thing that, and I identified this when I was doing my own work, although I'm always doing work, you know, I'm always journaling, meditating, you know, all that kind of stuff and learning more about myself. But one of the things, and I think, because when I look back, and I can honestly say I know what triggered my eating disorder, but when I look back, I can see how there were lots of different things at play, okay, and limiting beliefs that led to it. And I think one of the things was around when I was younger, I had a huge appetite, all right? It's you know, I did have like half of my family that were like, you are not moving until you finish everything, like step-parents. Mm-hmm. You know, again, there was other, you know, my stepfather created huge trauma, but that's another conversation. And you know, but then I had my grandparents that didn't used to force me to eat or anything. In fact, you know, they'd be like, my God, Becky, that's your fourth bowl of pasta. They used to make me feel like a pig.
Sorry. Right. So you had one forcing you to eat when you weren't hungry, and the other like, oh my gosh, how could you eat that?
Anyway, so yeah, so the yeah, exactly that. But the fact that, like, even in my grandparents' home, where food, you know, Italian food is so important, but I was always made to feel like the one who had this huge appetite, the one who could never be satiated. So, of course, that created this limiting belief that I've just got this massive appetite and I can't trust myself around food. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is something as well that I've had to learn to understand and reframe. Because until we can identify these, you know, a really, really great exercise that I do with clients, and I know we do this with clients, with around, I do it, you know, around the intuitive eating. I do, you know, looking at faulty beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I also get clients to dig deeper and look beyond just the food rules and just look at how any, you know, adverse effects in childhood or any traumas have created certain limiting beliefs. So it's like when my, you know, and some of it is related to food and body image. It's, you know, I remember being told at a young age I was getting fat and I needed to lose weight. So what was that limiting belief? I can't be accepted. When my own mum is telling me I'm fat, mm-hmm. no one's going to accept me if I put on weight. So again, that was another limiting belief that, of course, fueled the eating disorder, you know? So it's, the reason I'm talking about this is, you know, these things are all things that we unpick with clients so that they can make those subtle shifts over time that lead to mm-hmm. big change in their lives, rather than it being, and I still have to manage client expectations, and I know you do too, because sometimes clients will expect immediate results. I had a client today and she was mm-hmm. like, well, I was expecting something to happen this week. And I was like, and it's so funny because I was like, I then unpicked what had gone on and I was like, so you've done this, you've done that, you set this boundary, you recognize that. I was like, that's huge progress in a week. And
yeah,
like, oh, when we put it like that, I was like, yeah, exactly, you know, it's just because we are given these false promises by the diet industry, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you need some measurable goal and it's usually a scale or dress size or something.
Yes, which we do not do. And, you know, there's no focus on that trauma-informed. You know, it might be a result of healing your relationship with food. But, you know, some of my clients are on the opposite spectrum. Some mm-hmm. of my clients, I've got clients that I'm working with who are pregnant, who want to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, but clients who have gone on to get pregnant after working with me. I have a client that, you know, and then I've got clients that want to put weight on because they're, you know, so
yeah,
which is great. Great when you take this approach, you can work with a whole spectrum of people whose experiences are impacting their relationship with food in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we got to wrap this up because I think Rebecca's going to have a child wondering where mom is and experience some unintended trauma.
I've got to pick one up from Beavers, drop the other one up at Cubs, and then I've got a call tonight in between that as well. Oh, non-stop.
Yeah,
I'm sure when my kids look back, they'll be like, "Mommy worked too much." Me, anyway.
But yeah, this was a great discussion. Great way to kind of get back in the swing of things with the podcast. So I look forward to more episodes to come.